Blog Talk Radio.
One, everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy the wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Talk. Hey,
yes, hello,
good
afternoon, good morning, or good evening, or good, whatever it is that you're listening to. I come to you today on a Saturday on the East Coast, where it happens to be hotter than hell, or maybe hell is just as hot, or maybe a little hotter, but either way, the temperature is scorching. The city is literally boiling. I can boil an egg in the backseat of my car easily. Well, not maybe boil, but fry an egg in the back seat of my car and the front seat of my car very, very easily. So what happens when things are sizzling out of control? Your brain starts to sizzle. So today I'm going to do something that I don't usually do, and it could be because my brain has been sizzling all day long. It is now 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It's been sizzling since 7 o'clock this morning. Today is going to be different because we do not have a guest. Very unusual, but I have something for you. Really, really great. So sit back, because today it will truly save your life if you listen. So just because I don't have a guest here doesn't mean I don't have anything. Because I do have something. I have a book right in front of me called As a Man Thinketh by James Allen. And I'm going to read you a little bit of this book. And if you understand and become aware and take action based on this book, things can actually start going your way. You can actually change everything in your life. But how does that sound? If you have a problem, this is the way to solve it. I don't know about you, but to me, that is so exciting. You mean I can solve my problem because of what he wrote and As a Man Thinketh? Well, yeah, I want to do it. And if that's what you want to do, then relax, because I'm going to read this to you so that you will understand what I mean by that. So today I'm going to talk about one thing only, and that is our thinking, our thoughts, what we think about is what we are. You are what you think. So talking about thinking is probably one of the most important things we can talk about. Yes, I know you are what you eat too. And you definitely are what you do. And you definitely are all those other things. But it all starts with your thinking. You're going to think to eat certain food. You're going to eat certain food. You're going to be what you eat. You're going to think you're smart, and you will be smart. How does that work? Let me start with the first thing that he writes here, which is thought and character. The aphorism, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That is so powerful. So I want you to understand what he says here. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That aphorism itself not only embraces the whole of a man's being, but is so comprehensive as to reach out to every condition and circumstance of his life. A man is literally what he thinks. His character being, he completes out of all his thoughts. Now, one thing I need to clarify here, because we live in a politically correct world, and this was not written in a politically correct world. This was written in a place where people were free to be unpolitically correct. And man meant humanity. So when he says a man is literally what he thinks, he means a human, a man, a woman, just any human being. So please, when I read this, every time he says a man, you understand that it is not a politically correct book. So when it says as a man thinketh, it is definitely not excluding women. So please chill out. If you live in a politically correct brain, try to adjust up just for a little while so that you can get this really, really important information. Let me go to paragraph 2. As the plant springs from and could not be without the seed, so every act of man springs from the hidden seeds of thought and could not have appeared without them. This applies equally to those acts called spontaneous and unpremeditated as to those which are deliberately executed. Okay, again, he uses the word man. And what he's saying is that just like a plant has to grow out of a seed, it's the same thing with every single act of man, okay? And we know that man here is not politically correct. So it's definitely men and women. And I love that. I think it's really silly to have to write to every man and women when we know that man means all inclusive. Every act comes from that seed of what we were thinking. And it couldn't appear at all without it. Even acts that we think are spontaneous and not premeditated, even those acts, those are still come from what we're thinking. Act is the blossom of thought, and joy and suffering are its fruit. Thus does a man garner in the sweet and bitter fruitage of his own husbandry. So if acting is the blossom of our thinking, and the joy and the suffering are the fruits of our thinking. Basically, what that means, that our thinking is in charge of all our joy and all our bitterness. That is so powerful. Because basically, according to this, the only thing you really want to do is figure out how to control what you're thinking. That's it. And you've got control of your entire life. Sounds simple, but it's not. Man is a growth by law and not a creation by artifice. And cause and effect are as absolute and undeviating in his realm of thought as in the world of visible and material things. A noble and godlike character is not a thing of favor or chance, is a natural result of continued
effort in right thinking. The effect of long-cherished association with godlike thoughts. An ignoble and bestial character, by the same process, is the result of a continued harboring of groveling thoughts. Let me tell you what I understand from that. So what he's saying is that a man, the way a man or a woman grow is not a random creation. It's a cause and effect. And that is the absolute and undeviating. Okay, so what happens in the hidden realm of our thoughts, which we don't see, comes out in the visible realm of material things. Basically, if you think noble and godlike things, and that's the kind of character you're thinking about, that's the kind of character you're going to manifest. And if you're thinking ugly and bestial and horrific thoughts, then you're going to manifest ugly and horrific life. As a conclusion, he says man is made or unmade by himself. In the armory of thought, he forges the weapons by which he destroys himself. He also fashions the tools with which he builds for himself. Heavenly mansions of joy and strength and peace. By the right choice and the true application of thought, man ascends to the divine perfection. By the abuse and the wrong application of thought, he descends below the level of the beast. Between these two extremes are all the grades of character. And man is their maker and master. So you have pure, beautiful, perfected thoughts and pure evil thoughts. But in between those two extremes are all the characters and all the grades that humanity is making. All the beautiful truths pertaining to the soul which have been restored and brought to light in this age. None is more gladdening or fruitful of divine promise and confidence than this. That man is the master of thought, the molder of character, and the maker and shaper of condition, environment, and destiny. And that's exactly what the book The Secret said, if you're familiar with that famous book called The Secret. Basically, they said that the law of attraction is what you think about, you bring about. And everybody knows it. So why isn't everybody controlling their thoughts? So that's why I decided to read this, to make it so clear that that's what needs to be done, so that we'll kind of ignite the desire to want to do it. As a being of power, intelligence, and love, and the lord of his own thoughts, man holds the key to every situation and contains within himself a transforming and regenerative agency by which he may make himself what he wills. Man is always the master, even in his weakest and most abandoned state. But in his weakest and degrading, his foolish master, who misgoverns his household, when he begins to reflect upon his condition and search diligently for the law upon which his being is established, he then becomes the wise master, directing his energies with intelligence and fashioning his thoughts to fruitful issues. Such is the conscious master, and man can only thus become by discovering within himself the laws of thought. This discovery is totally a matter of application, self-analysis, and experience. So if you are the master of your thoughts, and if you control your life to such extreme, what is stopping you? What is stopping you from getting everything that you want? And that's what he covers on the next paragraph. What is it that's stopping you? Let's find out so we can get rid of it.
But what he's saying is that only by much searching and mining are gold and diamonds obtained, and man can find every truth connected with his being if he will dig deep into the mind of his soul. He's the maker of his character, the molder of his life, and the builder of his destiny. He may unerringly prove if he will watch, control, and alter his thoughts, tracing their effect upon himself, upon others, and upon his life and circumstances, linking cause and effect by patient practice and investigation, and utilizing his every experience, even the most trivial everyday occurrence, as a means of obtaining that knowledge of himself, which is understanding, wisdom, and power. In this direction is the law of absolute, that he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. For only by patience, practice, and ceaseless importunity can men enter the door of the temple of knowledge. So what stands between us and having everything we want is just patience, practice, ceaseless importunity, and non-stop, basically ceaseless importunity, non-stop searching and seizing opportunity. That's the only thing that stands between you and everything you ever wanted in your life. And that's the first thought of this book that I wanted to share with you. The next thought is the effect of thought on circumstances. And I will do the effect of thought on circumstances maybe tomorrow while my brain is sizzling a little bit more. A little bit harder. As for now, I am going to wish for you, if you are on the East Coast where it is sizzling, to stay cool, stay away from going outside, and give your brain a break. Maybe stay off your phone for a little while, maybe for an hour. Stay off your computer at the same time. Stay off any devices and give yourself a chance to just think. Just think. Like, you know, Lady Gaga says, just dance. Don't. Just take time to think. And if you're not going to go crazy and pull your hair out of your head, if you're not going to bite your nails and run and put on the TV or run and put on your computer or start watching your phone, then you might just find out what is going on in our little head here that is holding back from being the fullest of who you want to be. So to all the women out there, go start taking control of your queendom. Go start transforming or thinking your life into existence. Because these days, I don't think there's much that you may want to do that you cannot do. I don't think there's much that you want to say that you cannot say. Well, actually, no. It seems like speech is being a little bit, well, no, a lot cut if you're not politically correct, but hey, keep the power going, and even that freedom will be back. I bid you guys a magical journey, and let your talent be your potion. My name is Tippi Feldenstein, and you've been listening to Tippi Talk. If you'd like to read my book, which is also all about thinking, all you have to do is go to Amazon, type in Wake Up and Plan for
roses. And you will get my book, which talks a lot about planning and thinking and how that affects your life. I don't think it's as profound as the men think it is. No, I don't think it is. But it is a workbook, and it does give you a lot of practices at your Sunday books.
Every night I'm in bed, you're just a name in my head, and I say it like it's my mantra.
And listen to that music, I'm going to give you a treat. and read the second chapter of As a Man Thinketh, which is called Effect of Thought on Circumstances. So how does your thinking affect your circumstances? A man's mind may be likened to a garden. And again, I just don't want you to understand that a man here means men and women. A man's mind may be likened to a garden, which may be intelligently cultivating or allowed to run wild. But whether cultivated or neglected, it must and will bring forth. If no useful seeds are put into it, then an abundance of useless seeds, like wheat seeds, will fall therein and will continue to produce their kind. Just as the gardener cultivates his plot, keeping it free from weeds and growing the flowers and fruits which he requires, so may a man tend the garden of his mind, weeding out all the wrong, useless, and impure thoughts and cultivating towards perfection the flowers and fruits of right, useful, and pure thoughts. By pursuing this process, a man sooner or later discovers that he is the master gardener of his soul, the director of his life. He also reveals within himself the flaws of thought and understands with ever-increasing accuracy how the thought forces and mind elements operate in the shaping of character, circumstances, and destiny. Thought and character are one, and if character can only manifest and discover itself through environment and circumstances, the outer conditions of a person's life will always be found to be harmoniously related to his inner state. This does not mean that a man's circumstances at any given time are an indication of his entire character, but those circumstances are so intimately connected with some vital thought element within himself that for the time being, they are indispensable to his development. Every man is where he is by the law of his being. The thoughts which he has built into his character have brought him there, and in the arrangement of his life, there is no element of chance, but all is the result of the law which cannot err. This is just as true of those who feel out of harmony with their surroundings as of those who are contented with them. As a progressive and evolving being, man is where he is, that he may learn, that he may grow, as he learns, the spiritual lesson which any circumstance contains for him, it passes away and gives place to other circumstances. Man is buffeted by circumstances so long as he believes himself to be the creature of outside conditions. But when he realizes that he is a creative power and that he may command the hidden soil and seeds of his being out of which circumstances grow, he then becomes the rightful master of himself. That circumstances grow out of thought, every man knows who has for any length of time practiced self-control and self-purification, for he will have noticed that the alteration in his circumstances has been in exact ratio with his altered mental condition. So true is this, that when a man earnestly applies himself to remedy and defects in his character and makes swift and marked progress, he passes rapidly through a succession of vicissitudes. The soul attracts that which it secretly harbors, that which it loves, and also that which it fears. It reaches the height of its cherished aspiration. It falls to the level of its unchastened desires, and circumstances are the means by which the soul receives its own. Every thought seed sown or allowed to fall into the mind and to take foot there produces its own blossoming sooner or later into act and bearing its own fruitage of opportunity and circumstance. Good thoughts bear good fruit and bad thoughts bad fruit. the outer world of circumstances shapes itself to the inner world of thought in both pleasant and unpleasant. External conditions are factors which make for the ultimate good of the individual. As the reaper of his own harvest, man learns both of suffering and bliss. Following the inmost desires, aspirations, and thoughts by which he allows himself to be dominated, a man at last arrives at the fruition and fulfillment in the outer condition of his life. Laws of growth and adjustment everywhere obtain. A man does not come to the almshouse or the jail by the tyranny of fate or circumstance, but by the pathway of groveling thoughts and base desire. Nor does a pure-minded man fall suddenly into crime by stress of any mere external force. The criminal thought has long been secretly fostering in the heart, and the hour of opportunity revealed its gathered power. Circumstance does not make the man. It reveals him to himself. No such conditions can exist as descending into vice and its attendant suffering apart from vicious inclinations, or ascending into virtue and its pure happiness without the continued cultivation of virtuous aspirations. And man, therefore, is the lord and master of thought, is the maker of himself and the shaper of the author of environment. Even at birth, the soul comes of its own, and through every step of its earthly pilgrimage, it attracts those combinations of conditions which reveal itself, which are the reflection of its own purity and impurity, its strength and its weaknesses. Men do not attract that which they want, but that which they are. I think this is a really important sentence, so listen very carefully. Men do not attract that which they want, but that which they are. Their whims, their fancies, and ambitions are thwarted at every step, but their inmost thoughts and desires are fed with their own food, be it foul or clean. Man is manacled only by himself. Thought and action are the jailers of fate. They imprison in base. They are also the angels of freedom. They liberate, being noble. Not what he wishes and prays for does a man get, but what he justly earns. His wishes and prayers are only gratified and answered when they harmonize with his thoughts and his actions. In the light of this truth, then, what then is the meaning of fighting against circumstances? It means that a man is continually revolting against an effect without, while all the time he's nourishing and persevering its cause in its heart. That cause may take the form of a conscious vice, or an unconscious weakness. But whatever it is stubbornly retards the effort of its possessor and thus calls aloud for remedy. Men are anxious to improve their circumstances, but are unwilling to improve themselves. They therefore remain bound. A man who does not shrink from self-crucifixion can never fail to accomplish the object upon which his heart is set. This is as true of earthly as of heavenly things. Even the man whose sole object is to acquire wealth must be prepared to make great personal sacrifices before he can accomplish his object. And how much more so he who will realize a strong and well-poised life. It is pleasing to human vanity to believe that one suffers because of one's virtue, but not until a man has extirpated every sickly, bitter, and impure thought from his soul can he be in a position to know and declare that his suffering are the result of his good and not of his bad qualities. and on the way to, yet long before he has reached that supreme perfection, he will have found working in his mind and life the great law, which is absolutely just and which cannot therefore give good for evil, evil for, or evil for good. Possessed of such knowledge, he will then know, looking back upon his past ignorance and blindness, that his life is and always was justly ordered, and that all his past experiences, good and bad, were the equitable outworking of his own, of his evolving yet unevolved self, whose thoughts and actions can never produce bad results. Bad thoughts and actions can never produce good results. This is but saying that nothing can come from corn but corn. Nothing can come from nettles but nettles. Men understand this law in the natural world and work with it, but few understand it in the mental and moral world. Though it's operating there, it's just as simple and undeviating, and they therefore do not cooperate with it. Suffering is always the effect of wrong thought in some direction. It is an indication that the individual is out of harmony with himself, with the law of being. The sole and supreme use of suffering is to purify, to burn out all that is useless and impure. Suffering ceases for him who is pure. There will be no object in burning gold after the dross has been removed, and a perfectly pure and enlightened being could not suffer. The circumstances which a man encounters with suffering are the result of his own mental inharmony. The circumstances which a man encounters with blessedness are the result of his own mental harmony. Blessedness, not material possession, is the measure of right thought. Wretchedness, not lack of material possession, is the measure of wrong thought. A man may be cursed and rich. He may be blessed and poor. Blessedness and riches are only joined together when the riches are rightly and wisely used. And the poor man only descends into wretchedness when he regards his lot as a burden unjustly imposed. Indigence and indulgence are the two extremes of wretchedness. They are both equally unnatural and the result of mental disorder. A man is not rightly conditioned until he's a happy, healthy, and prosperous being. And happiness, health, and prosperity are the result of harmonious adjustment of the inner to the outer of the man with his surroundings. A man only begins to be a man when he ceases to whine and revile, and commences to search for the hidden justice which regulates his life. And he adopts his mind to that regulating factor. Ceases to accuse others as the cause of his condition and build himself up in strong and noble thoughts. Cease to kick against circumstances, but being to use them as aids to his more rapid progress and as means of discovering the hidden powers of possibilities within himself. Law, not confusion, is the dominating principle in the universe. Justice, not injustice, is the soul and substance of life. Righteousness, not corruption, is the molding and moving force in the spiritual government of the world. This being so, man has but to right himself to find that the universe is right. And during the process of putting himself right, he will find that as he alters his thoughts towards things and other people will alter towards him. The proof of this truth is in every person, and therefore admits of easy investigation by which systematic introspection, self-analysis. Let a man radically alter his thoughts, and he will be astonished at the rapid transformation he will effect in the material condition of his life. Man, imagine that thought can be kept secret, but it cannot. It rapidly crystallizes into habit, and habit solidifies into circumstance. Bestial thoughts crystallize into habits of drunkenness and sensuality, which solidifies into circumstances of destitution and disease. Impure thoughts of every kind crystallize.
life into innervating and confusing habits, which solidify into distracting and adverse circumstances. Thoughts of fear, doubt, and indecision crystallize into weak, unmanly, and irresolute habits, which solidify into circumstances of failure, indigence, and slavish dependence. Lazy thoughts crystallize into weak habits of uncleanliness and dishonesty, which solidify into circumstances of foulness and bigotry. Hateful and condemnatory thoughts crystallize into habits of accusation and violence, which solidify into circumstances of injury and persecution. Selfish thoughts of all kinds crystallize into habits of self-seeking, which solidify into stressful circumstances. On the other hand, beautiful thoughts of all kinds crystallize into habits of grace and kindness, which solidify into genial and sunny circumstances. Pure thoughts crystallize into habits of temperance and self-control, which solidify into circumstances of repose. Thoughts of courage, self-reliance, and decision crystallize into manly habits, which solidify into circumstances of success, plenty, and freedom. Energetic thoughts crystallize into habits of cleanliness and industry, which solidify into circumstances of pleasantness. Gentle and forgiving thoughts crystallize into habits of gentleness, which solidify into protective and perseverative circumstances. Loving and unselfish thoughts would solidify into circumstances of sure and abiding prosperity and true riches. A particular train of thought persisted in being good or bad cannot fail to produce its results of the character and circumstances. A man cannot directly choose his circumstances, but he can choose his thoughts, and so indirectly, yet surely shape his circumstances. Nature helps every man to gratification of the thoughts which he most encourages, and opportunities are presented which will most speedily bring to the surface both the good and the evil thoughts. Let a man cease from his sinful thoughts, and all the world will soften toward him and be ready to help him. Let him put away his weakly and sickly thoughts, and opportunities will spring up on every hand to aid his strong resolve. Let him encourage good thoughts, and no hard fate shall bind him down to wretchedness and shame. The world is your kaleidoscope, and the varying combinations of color, which at every succeeding moment it presents to you, are exquisitely adjusted pictures of your ever-moving thoughts. And that's the second chapter. And the next time, and I think maybe tomorrow, if we're still sizzling up here, I may do the next chapter, which is the effects of thoughts on health and the body, which is very, very important as well. I'm so glad you stayed to the other side of the music, because it has been my treat to go on to the second chapter. Again, the third one I will read probably tomorrow. Depends if my brain sizzles in the direction, but it would be the effects of thoughts on health and body. Enjoy the rest of your weekend if you are not sizzling away here on the East Coast and enjoying better weather. Well, enjoy it.